5. Echoes. Ghosts walk the streets, wraiths of wind and dust, forming tantalizing shapes in the tempest. They lived at the edge of his vision, slaughtered by the storm each time Lorgar sought to see them more clearly. There, a fleeing figure, obliterated back into the breeze the moment Lorgar turned to see it. And there, three reaching, shrieking maidens, though there was nothing more than whirling dust when the Primarch turned again. He clutched the Crozius tighter. Ahead, always ahead, there thrummed that aching sense of something barely alive, weakened, trapped, almost certainly dying. The bleak resonance reaching into his mind spoke of something like a caged, diseased animal. Something that had been dying for a long, long time. Lorgar moved with care, stepping around dust-coated rubble, treading through the skeleton of a city. The gritty wind carried distant voices in its grip, inhuman voices, screaming in an alien tongue. Perhaps the gale played tricks of its own, for even with a grasp of the Eldar language, he couldn't make out the words being cried into the storm. Trying to comprehend individual voices merely made the others louder, eclipsing any hope of focus. As he moved deeper through the emaciated city, Lorgar ceased turning at every half-formed image, unfocusing his eyes and letting the teasing wind shape whatever it chose. In the thrashing gusts, faint spires stood at the corners of his eyes, alien towers reaching up with impossible grace into hostile skies. The Primarch looked back, seeking Ingathel, and seeing nothing. Ingathel! He reached out with his stuttering psychic sense, unsure if the call even pierced the wind. Demon! Where are you? The storm howled louder in answer. Time seemed to lose its grip. Lorgar's thirst grew raw, though he never slowed in weariness, all the while walking for over 70 hours beneath an unending dusk. The only certain evidence of time's passing was his retinal chrono, which degenerated into unreliable fluctuation at the tip of the 71st hour. The digital display began to pulse with random runes, as if finally surrendering to the unnatural laws of this warp-drowned realm. Lorgar recalled Argal Tal's face. Gaunt, almost vampiric in its skeletal ferocity. When the warrior had claimed his vessel had sailed the warp's tides for half a year. To Lorgar and the rest of the fleet, the Orpheo's lament had been gone no longer than a few heartbeats. Idly, he wondered how long would pass in the material universe while he lingered here, walking along the shores of hell. What little of the craft world's architecture remained above ground was a victim of erosion, worn down and scarred by the blistering winds. Lorgar stalked down yet another avenue of dust, his boots grinding down on the ancient rock. Perhaps this had once been an agricultural dome, fertile and forested with Xenos flora. Perhaps it had been nothing more than a communal chamber, though. Lorgar sought to restrain his imagination, refusing to let it be stirred further by the dancing shapes in the dust storm. Another 100 meters, scuffing through worthless soil, and the curious queasy ache of struggling life began to throb below his boots. To his left, to his right, nothing but the fallen towers of a dead civilization. The Primarch crouched to grip a fistful of the red soil. As before, he let it fall through his fingers, watching as it was snatched away by the wind. The presence, such as it was, waxed and waned in arrhythmia. Lorgar took a breath, aiming a thin pulse of psychic energy to trickle downward. He felt nothing in response, not even a tremor of awareness. It could have been a meter below the ground, or all the way down to the world's core. Either way, it was a weak, irregular thing, seemingly untouchable and only barely reminiscent of life. Sentience resided in hiding, but it didn't feel alive. Curious. He pushed deeper, scenting, seeking, But the same buried core of resistant nothingness met his questing touch. In grudging defeat, Lorgar withdrew his hesitant psychic probing, curling his perception back into his skull's senses. That did it. Even as he was cursing his erratic talents, he felt something stir beneath, burrowing upward. The presence beneath the sand chewed its way up. An icy, bloodhound sentience, straining to sniff after his retreating sigh caress. Lorgar recoiled on instinct, shuddering at the sense of desperation wrenching closer from below. With gritted teeth, he forced a blast of repellent thought back at the grasping presence, the psychic equivalent of smashing a drowning man's fingers as he grasped for a lifeline. The presence ebbed for a moment, regrouped, and clawed upwards again. Its crest broke the surface, raw feeling crashing against the Primarch's mind in a splash of cold ferocity, absolutely devoid of any other emotion. Lorgar staggered back from the fountain of rising awareness, deflecting its jagged intensity as best he could. When the hand burst from the sand, the Primarch already stood with his Crozius in his fists. He watched, shielding his mind from a spit spray of formless psychic hate, as the statue of a dying god dragged itself from a grave of scarlet soil. It couldn't stand. In its struggles to rise, the creature crawled closer, hands digging into the earth to find loose purchase. But it couldn't seem to stand. The Primarch watched it crawl, unable to see any distinct spinal injury along its cracked armor plating. The long mane of hair falling to either side of its snarling death mask face looked to be composed of smoke. It streamed out, captured by the wind, a slave to the storm's breath. Lorgar backed away with slow care, boots crunching the dust, his own features bare of anything beyond curiosity. Whatever the crippled thing was, its wrath poured from it in an aura of physical pressure. Lorgar took another retreating step, still watching closely. For all the god statue's majesty, it was plainly ruined by supernatural decay. A husk crawled where once a great entity would be striding over the land. Lorgar saw its banished glory when he narrowed his eyes, peering at the flickering after-images through his lashes. A being of tectonic armor plating, with eyes of white flame. A heart that beat magma over bones of unburnable black stone. A towering manifestation of incarnate rage and holy fire. Lorgar saw all of this through the swirling sand, and even smiled as the wind formed a false heat haze around the creature, another weak echo of what should have been truly majestic. Had it been able to stand, it would have risen taller than a Legionis Astartes dreadnought. Even prone and destroyed, it was an immense thing, leaving a wretched trail in the dust. He almost pitied it, in this devastated incarnation. Its black skin was faded to a greyish charcoal, split in old cracks that bled smoke into the storm. Lava blood had dried to a sluggish flow of ember sludge. Scabby crusts spoke of its own blood cooling, drying as it left its body. Where eyes of witchfire had once blazed, hollow eye sockets twisted in sightless, feral expressions. "I am Lorgar," he told the crawling god, "the 17th son of the Emperor of Man." The god bared black teeth and grey gums, seeking to shout. Nothing but ash left its snarling lips, spilling onto the sand beneath its chin, while the psychic aftershock of the denied scream battered uselessly against Lorgar's guarded mind. It crawled closer. Two of its fingers broke against the ground. Congealing magma oozed from the stumps, blackening as it dried. "I know you can hear me." The Primarch kept his voice calm. His Crozius hammer flared with energy, lightning sparking in a mad dance over its spiked head. "But you cannot answer, can you?" He took another step backwards. In response, the god's statue gave another soundless roar. "I see you cannot." The Primarch's smile faltered. "Nothing is left to you but this dull ache of unquenchable hatred. That is almost tragic.
Logar.
Ingathel. He reached for the demon's voice. Ingathel, I have found something. An echo. A wraith. I believe I will put it out of its misery.
It is an avatar of Kayla Menchacane.
Logar nearly shrugged. The name means nothing to me.
The war god of the soul broken. You have disturbed the city's heart, bringing living warmth to the coldest of places.
He returned the psychic equivalent of a snort. Whatever it once was, it is dying now. It has been dying for a long time, entombed beneath this poisonous soil.
As you say.
A pause. A sense of amusement.
Logar. Behind you.
The Primarch turned from the crawling god to face the slender figures walking from the gritty wind. He could see nothing in the way of detail. There were silhouettes in the storm, drifting closer, curved blades in their hands. A dozen. Two dozen. All ghosting closer. Not a single one of them betrayed the warm resonance of living sentience.
Mongai,
whispered the wind.
Shail, Shail, Shail.
He knew the word. Shail. Hell. A place of absolute evil. Logar blasted each of the silhouettes apart with focused projections of psychic force. It took no more than a moment's focus. Heat haze shimmered in the wake of their discorporation. The Primarch laughed as he realized he was wasting his strength on mirages. A groaning, grinding moan rang out from behind. Logar turned again, in time to see the god's statue finally rising to its knees. From the red sand, it drew forth an ancient and cracked blade. Through clenched teeth that wheezed with ash, it coughed its first words.
Suindala,
growled the withered god. The blade in its hands, used more as a crutch than a weapon, streamed with unhealthy black smoke, but didn't burst into flame. Logar watched the trembling creature with a cautious eye. Suindala, he sent to his distant guide. I am not familiar with the words.
The doom that wails. It is the name of the blade in his hands.
Logar watched the avatar topple again, crashing onto its hands and knees. I almost feel pity for the thing. He was aware of the demon taking form behind him, shaping itself from the wind, but felt no compunction to turn and face it.
You should not pity it, Logar. There is a lesson in this.
The Primarch was sure there was, but he cared little for such unsubtle teachings. The avatar's skin cracked and peeled away by each of the statue's joints. I am ending this, he said aloud.
As you wish.
Ingathel's words drifted back. Logar stepped forward, his mace heavy in his hands.
Remember this moment, Logar. Remember it for what it is and what it stands for.
He drew closer to the collapsing statue and raised his croziers high, every inch the image of an executioner. The avatar's cracking hand gripped his armor greave. Another of its fingers broke off. I will end the misery of your ignorance, said Logar, and let the hammer fall. A single strike. A blow to the back of the head. The crash of iron against stone. The hiss of dust captured by the wind. The rattle of grit against sealed ceramite.
There is a lesson here.
On the red soil, an outline of black ash marked the shape of a god's grave.
Logar, do you see it?
Logar turned back to the demon. Ingathel was slavering, its jaws dripping with clear saliva that somehow failed to crystallize in the intense cold.
Do you see?
It asked, unblinking.
A divine being can be as ignorant, as lost, as blind as any mere mortal. They can be as stubborn in their defiance and just as grave a threat to the truth. Look at the revenant you destroyed, an echo of a faith that failed long ago. Now it is gone. This world can heal, untainted by false and heathen belief. Do you see?
The irritation left his vox grill as a raucous grunt. You ask that question of my son, Argal Tal, and I do not wish for the same blunt instruction. Yes, Ingathel, I see.
Even a god may die, Lorgar.
He laughed again. Subtlety is poison to you, isn't it?
Even a god may die. You will remember those words before the end.
The demon's silent tone gave him pause. You speak of the end as if you know its outcome.
I have walked the paths of possibility. I have seen what might be and what is almost certain to be. But one cannot see what will be until it has become what was.
Lorgar no longer felt like laughing. What is most likely, then? How will this end? The demon licked its maw clean of dark ash and red dust.
It ends as it began, Emperor's son. It ends in war.
Two words were all it took. Show me.